Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. We call this series The Star of Wonder because of the great star that the Magi saw in the heavens. And the gospel accounts tell us that as that happened, when they saw the star and where it stood over, they were filled with joy. And the amazing thing is all of the heavens were aligned, the planets were aligned to point to the birth of Jesus. And when the Magi saw that, they were overflowing with joy. They rejoiced in that. And let's be honest, that this time of year has a whole load of mixture of emotions and thoughts. Some of us can't wait for Christmas to be over. Anyone in that willing to admit it? A few people kind of nodding like, am I allowed to admit that in church? Some of us just want to get the whole thing done because it's hassle and it's money and it's expense and it's busyness and it's rushing from one thing to the other. Others of us have been around this kind of calendar enough that we get to a point where a lot of the truth of it bounces off us. And it's like, well, there's nothing new we can learn about this nativity story. But I really believe that the heart of God is not for things to bounce off anyone. I believe the heart of God is for you in your heart, in your mind, to be filled again with wonder. That the wonder of the gift of Jesus might fill you. That's my prayer. As a leadership team, that's our prayer for everyone, regardless of your age or how grown up you feel. That we'd all be like childlike and our wonder is like, that is amazing. Yeah. That's our prayer. That's my prayer for you today. And as part of the kind of calendar, I don't know about you, but this time of year, usually the beginning, end of November, beginning of December, we get a box out of our loft or storage place or the shed or from under the bed, wherever it was, a box with a whole load of ornaments. Does anyone do that? Anyone put their tree up recently, the last couple of days? All right, some of you are like, well, I haven't got a tree yet. It's only the 1st of December. There's days to go. Well, some of us have had a tree up for longer than just, in fact, some of us had it for weeks, right? So you get these kind of things out of the box. Is that right? These ornaments. And I want to show you two of, these are masterpieces, by the way. This one here, just for those listening to the recording, is a plastic globe that was assembled with great craftsmanship. And there's some shredded foil, whatever you call that, and a very carefully colored blue blob of paper inside a bauble. Isn't that beautiful? In fact, it's so amazing. I want you to have a look at this, right? This one, I think David did. David here, who was playing drums earlier, I think he made this in Watford Girls Grammar School in a classroom on a Sunday morning, I think. David's 15 now, but if you give him 50 quid, he'll make you one, all right? So all orders, just let us know. You know, got some Christmas presents to buy. Just pass that around. I want you to see the craftsmanship. But it reminds us of when a little boy was fascinated and wanted to give something for Christmas. We've still got that all these years later. The second one I want to show you is a bit of cross stitch by my mum. Oh. In fact, they're coming from America this week. I'm really excited. They live over in Colorado Springs. And here is a beautiful cross stitch. And it says on it, 2003. The reason this is significant, because our angel, Hannah, who sang just here just a few minutes ago, our angel was born in 2003. And so Grammy, as she's known to us, Grammy gave us this to put on our tree in 2003. Isn't that amazing? And that's so beautiful. I want you to pass that around as well. It has to come back to me. It's a one-off in the world. There's not another one like it. So it's very special to us as a family. But when we take these things and we find ourselves reflecting on a number of things, when we put them on the tree, remember, gosh, has that a year gone already? Does anyone have that feeling? It's like, gosh, is it Christmas again? We've only just taken the tree down. Now we're putting it up again. We look at these ornaments and they cause us to reflect on not only the passing of time, but sometimes some really poignant moments. Has anyone been given one of those by somebody who's now passed away? Does anyone have ornaments that represent a happier time than we're currently experiencing? Does anyone have any of those? And so I want us to think about the value and the importance of stopping and reflecting on where we're at in the passage of time and to ask ourselves some important questions. And in this, our desire is that we might all rediscover a sense of wonder. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know many of us in this room have lost that sense of wonder. And I believe God's heart, as I've said, is to help us to rediscover it. And in this, I want to encourage us to rediscover and get a fresh sense of perspective on where we're at in the world. Many of us, we fall into the trap of thinking the world revolves around us, it's all about us. And it's really good to step back and say, wow, there is a whole lot of people in the world, and there is a God who's working out his plan in the world. This is the wonder of Christmas. Now, in order to do this, I want us to think, as we've heard sung already, about Joseph. He's just an ordinary bloke. Any ordinary blokes in the room? Say, yeah. Yeah. He's just an ordinary bloke. He's like a builder. He spends his time on building sites. His hands are rough and cut. And God appears to him and gives the most amazing news. He's just doing what good Jewish young men did. They found somebody they wanted to marry. Maybe it was an arranged marriage, but he's betrayed them. Anyway, let's pick up the story in Matthew. Let's read about an ordinary bloke, because there's good news in this for ordinary blokes. Hallelujah. Because I feel very ordinary. And all of you feel ordinary, go, ugh. Okay, but anyway, I've done that once. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. And then he quotes Isaiah 9. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. He's quoting Isaiah 7, not Isaiah 9. Isn't that amazing? In fact, the Greek that it was really written in says that Joseph embraced her, received her as his wife, even though they were not sexually active together until after Jesus was born. He embraced her. He did what the Lord had told him to do. This is really simple. What you're going to get here is simple, but it's profound. The Lord appears to Joseph and tells him what he's doing, and his answer is humble obedience. We should marvel that an ordinary bloke did what God asked him to do. Yes, that's a miracle, because all of us are ordinary, and all of us are ordinary blokes know that that's not always that easy to just do what God wants to do. So we marvel that he goes, okay. He even uses the same name that the angel had told him to. He calls the baby Jesus. And we're amazed at Joseph. He was going to plan to divorce Mary quietly because he's a good man. He's a humble, honest man. He wasn't going to shame her publicly, but he simply humbly obeys. So we wonder first and foremost. We reflect on Joseph's simple obedience, his humble obedience. And then we think about Mary, as we heard her sing. So Joseph's saying, why me? But then he says, okay. In the same way, Mary is wondering, why her? But her response and her answer is really quite amazing. We turn to Luke chapter 1. And in Luke 1, we recognize again that Mary is an ordinary, everyday girl. She's just a Jewish girl. She's brought up in the standard way. There's nothing kind of extraordinary about her. And yet God in his sovereignty is able to do something in Mary that changes the history of the planet. This is what Luke says as he wrote his version of this story. He says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in the middle of nowhere. Well, that's my version. It might as well be, by the way, Galilee, the middle of nowhere. It's just a nowhere place, okay? In the village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. You would, wouldn't you? What do you actually mean? Anyway, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the babe to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Hallelujah. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now, this is really familiar to many of us who do kind of churchy things, especially this time of year when we come to the service. We understand, we've heard those words before. I want us to just simply step back and see something profound happen that we can learn from. We need to reflect on the simple yes of Mary. The simple yes. She simply said yes. When God's plan was made clear, the most profound plan, the most ridiculous plan, if it wasn't true, the most remarkable thing that any woman has ever been told in the history of humanity, and she simply says, yes. Not yes to some of it, but yes to everything. Not yes, I'll do that bit, but I can't do that bit. I'll accept that bit. No, she just says yes. She says, "Let it be according to what you want, Lord." Yes to everything that you want. We should step back and reflect on how awesome that is. Mary. Imagine the pain and the joy mixed up in that yes. There's, well, why me? But yes. Some of us, even now, are facing decisions in our life. We're facing the future, and we sense we know what God is saying he wants us to do. And we say, "Well, why me, God? If that's how it ends, then God is not able to do what he wants to do." But if we say, "Why me? But yes. Why me? But yes." I believe God is wanting to speak to someone very specifically today. Is that even this week, poised in front of you, is the opportunity to say yes to what God is doing. And it's just like your hand is shaking over the line that you sign. I want to encourage you, say yes. Because we all know there is great power in a yes. That there's power in saying yes to the wrong thing. To one more drink. There can be consequences. To putting things into our veins that are bad for us, there's consequences. To staying or being or starting a wrong relationship that's ungodly, there are consequences. To going along with stuff in our business or our office or where we work that we know is not right, there are consequences to what we say yes to. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeses matter. And they can lead us to some very dark places. But on the other side, positively, we learn from Mary the significance of saying yes to God. The significance is completely everything you want. We are here today as followers of her son, Jesus Christ, because she said yes to everything the Lord wanted to do in her life. And we know the power of a yes. The power, and anyone had this experience of, maybe if you did, if it's all done the traditional way, where someone bowed the knee before you with a ring in their hand and says, "Will you marry me?" Do you know how the power of that yes? If you said yes, if you said no, then probably that was the right decision. Because if you don't know the answer's yes at that point, then better, if in doubt, you can do without. Hello? Because the other, because what happens as it moves along is you might find yourself at an altar and there's someone who's dressed smart in the front of a ceremony and asking if you'll make promises to each other. And you know that there's great power in those yeses. Because what you say yes to in that moment will change your destiny. For good, perhaps. Maybe not for good. For pain, for joy, the power of a yes. So we can reflect on the simple power of Mary's yes. And then when we think about what God might be asking us to do, the price he might be asking us to pay, the thing he might want us to do next, when we know he's asking, we can take comfort and courage that it's the best thing to do is to say yes to all that God wants to do. Even though Mary knew there were going to be great consequences. The significance of a yes should not be underestimated. Now, I've been reflecting on something reflective. I have in my hand a bauble that didn't quite make it to the Roberts tree this year. I think the colour was wrong, wasn't it? Did anyone have a colour theme? We're not doing kind of ready, orange, whatever color this is. But I've been thinking about this bauble. And I want you to think about this. In fact, I'm going to pass this around in a minute, and I want you all to have a look. But before I do that, I want to demonstrate something through it, because we'll see as we read on in Luke, it has something to say to us. You see, when you look into a bauble, you notice a couple of things. Oh, my nose is big. I recognize that. It gets bigger the closer I move like that. How handsome I am is something. No, no. When we look in a bauble, we see actually how small we are. We get smaller. And then we become aware that behind us and around us and actually above us is a whole lot that we wouldn't otherwise see. I look now and I see what I wouldn't see. I move it away and I've got a limited perspective. I believe God wants to broaden our perspective as we reflect on two things, on how small we are, but also how big his plan is. So to help you out here, I wonder if you could you go that way with that one, go that way with that one. And the plan is, the challenge is that has to get round the rest of the room in 12 minutes by the time I finish, all right? Don't count the minutes. As you look at it, I want you to see that you're not just looking at yourself, but you're seeing a whole load of stuff you otherwise wouldn't see. Now, Mary's song, in fact, let's read on the rest of the story in Luke chapter 2 while those things get passed around. Have a good look at yourself, but also what else is in what you see. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. A few days later, so she said yes. A few days later, after the yes, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" Why me? Verse 44, "When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy," she says. "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." The Holy Spirit in Elizabeth recognized the significance of that yes and the work of God within her. And then after this, we have the words of a, of Mary's heart song. Tradition is called the Magnificat. And I want you to see in this, as we see it on the screen, as you hear it read, I want you to see in this both the simplicity and the humility of her being small, but also the greatness of God's plan. She has revelation from God about something happening in her life that will change things. She says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed." And we do, don't we? 2,000 years later, she's blessed. Verse 49, "For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has been tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He's helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Oh, this is so beautiful. In that moment, she has a revelation of two things concurrently at the same time. She's aware of how small she is, of how lowly she is as a servant girl. Yet she also has perspective on how awesome God's plan is. She has a small part, but she's part of God's amazing plan. You see, in this moment, she has a perspective change. A bit like looking in that bauble. We see everything wrapped around behind us that we wouldn't ordinarily see. She sees that she is now in the history books. She's part of a miracle that's happening that began when Abraham received the promise of the Lord and now goes forever. She gets perspective on her place in time and space and history. She says, "Now all generations will be blessed through my child." She has a revelation, not only how small she is, but how great God's plan is. Would it be that you and I would have those things happen in our hearts and our spirits again today, my friends? Wouldn't it be great if we could honestly accept just how small we are? And I mean that with all due respect, but some of us need to realize again in the presence of God just how small we are. We are a tiny pinprick in the universe. We are one of 7 billion people on the planet. And guess what? We're all pretty ordinary. We have mood swings. We have good relationships, bad relationships. We have good days and bad days. Sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes we're workaholics. Sometimes we do the right thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. We're just ordinary people. And that's okay to admit. Mary admits it. Who am I? Why me? I'm just a lowly servant God. I've got good news for you if you're willing to accept today. If you're willing to humble yourself and accept today just how small you are. Can I hear an amen to that? Yeah. It's not a bad thing. It's a good place to start. It doesn't end there, though. It doesn't end there because as well as understanding how small we are, Mary, see, understood God's great and awesome plan and that she had a part to play in that plan. I believe God's heart would say, yes, you're small. Guess what? You're very, very special. Guess what? You are very precious. Guess what? You're a one-off. There is no DNA on the planet in any species, in any corner of the deepest ocean that matches your DNA. That's because I wanted you to be born and I have a plan for your life and your life fits into my plan. What a wonderful truth that is. Mary says, from generations to generations, your mercy extends. And here I am, part of that plan. Now, I know Mary alone was called to carry the Christ child. But that child grew up to not only live for us and do miracles for us, but to die on the cross for us. And then he rose again after 3 days. And then after he ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now dwells in us and includes us in the great master plan that he has. If we would say yes, you and I have a part to play in God's plan. But I'm only a computer programmer. Guess what? You have a part in God's plan. Well, I only teach a small classroom of children. Guess what? You have a part to play in God's plan. Well, I'm a security guard in a car park. Do you know what? You have a part to play in God's plan. Well, I'm only this. I'm telling you that I believe God's heart is to say, yes, you're small, but there's a big plan. Amen. And you can be part of it if you say yes. And when you say yes, hallelujah. Time to reflect. That's what we need. Time to reflect on God's plan for the nations. You see, God has a plan for the nations. God has planned for the NATO nations. He has a plan, and we can be a small part, but an important part in that plan. And just a moment, I'm going to give you something that probably is pretty rare, and that is a bit of space. A few minutes to reflect on where you find yourself today. I don't know about you, but I take a lot of things for granted. Anyone want to